broadcasting worldwide on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Live from the heart of the nation's capital, this is Morning Glory.
It is a gorgeous summer morning at Guadalupe Studios in Washington. Welcome to Monday in the 12th week in Ordinary Time, June 26th. We begin giving glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to people of goodwill. We praise you, we bless you, we adore you, we glorify you, we give you thanks for your great glory. Lord God, Heavenly King, O God, Almighty Father, Lord Jesus Christ, only begotten Son, Lord God, Lamb of God, Son of the Father, you take away the sins of the world, have mercy on us. You take away the sins of the world, receive our prayer. You are seated at the right hand of the Father, have mercy on us. For you alone are the Holy One, you alone are the Lord, you alone are the Most High, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, in the glory of God the Father. Amen.
Amen.
Good to have you with us on Monday morning. Brian Patrick here along with Gloria Purvis.
Good morning.
Elisa Murphy is our producer at our Godly Council. Monsignor Charles Pope begins the morning with prayer.
Lord, in the sacred liturgy today where we worship you, you speak a promise to Abraham, but I wonder if we can pray it for ourselves, Lord. You simply remind us, I will make of you a great nation. I will bless you. And I will make your name great so that you will be a blessing. And all the communities of the earth shall find blessing in you. And so help us who do live in a great nation, so blessed by you, Lord, to remember that these beautiful blessings are meant to help us to be a blessing to others through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Yes, God has certainly blessed America. Gloria, what does Mother offer from her perpetual calendar today?
Mother says, when you say, I thank you, Lord, for the Eucharist, look at the miracle. Look at his pain throughout the centuries. How our Lord throughout the centuries has been abused throughout the centuries in his real presence just to be there. There is no human being who would want to be abused just to be there. If you love someone and they abuse you, you would fall out of love.
We thank God for Mother Angelica. May she rest in peace. Mm-hmm. 2 minutes after the hour, as fire forces more than 1,500 people to evacuate their homes in Garfield County, Utah, high winds and very hot weather intensifying the fire with nearly 1,000 firefighters battling the flames. Garfield County Sheriff James Perkins thinks the firefighters, or thanks them, for working to protect people and their homes.
They literally put their lives on the line to protect people's property. These guys are, they're heroes.
About 63 square miles have been burned, and by Sunday, that fire was only 8% contained. With dry weather and record heat, wildfires are burning across 7 western states. In Santa Clarita, California, a truck accident Sunday sparked a fast-moving fire that burned through almost 900 acres. Michael Gibson, his sons and neighbors, took it upon themselves to protect their homes.
The only reason our house is still standing here is because both me and my sons stayed and fight the fire, so it worked out pretty well for us.
About 200 firefighters were able to bring that fire to 50% containment. 100 people voluntarily evacuated. Pope Francis urges Christians to not be afraid to proclaim the gospel message. At his Sunday Angelus address, the Holy Father says we should expect failure and even persecution, but we live in the knowledge that the Lord is on our side. Acknowledging those persecuted for their faith today, Francis says, let us pray for our brothers and sisters who are persecuted and praise the Lord because in spite of this, they continue to witness their faith with courage and fidelity. Pope Francis also expressing grief for the victims of a landslide that engulfed a village in southwestern China. He said, I pray for the dead and for the injured and for those who have lost their homes. May God comfort affected families and sustain rescuers. Almost 100 people remain missing and hopes of finding survivors are now fading. Thousands gathered Sunday in Lithuania's capital to attend the official beatification ceremony of Archbishop Teofilius Matulionis, who became a symbol of persecution endured by Christians under the Soviet regime. The Pope paid respect to those gathered, saying, let us give thanks to the Lord for the witness of this courageous defender of the faith and of human dignity. The bishop continually defied the communist rule and spent much of his ministry in prison. He was declared a martyr by Pope Francis in December.
I was just looking at that name, Teofilius. I wonder if that's like their version of Theophilus. It just made me think of that because my grandfather's middle name was Theophilus, lover of God.
Yeah.
It makes sense, huh?
Yeah.
That was it. Just wondering.
In fact, St. Luke addresses both his gospel and Acts of the Apostles to Theophilus.
Yep.
Before taking their long summer break, Supreme Court justices are poised to act on the Trump administration's travel ban and a separation of church and state dispute involving a Missouri church playground. Court watchers, though, are wondering if Justice Anthony Kennedy will use the court's last public session today to announce his retirement. Kennedy's departure would allow conservatives to take firm control of the high court. Several state government websites in Ohio, including the governor's office and the state prison system, were apparently hacked Sunday by a pro-ISIS group. Cybersecurity expert Adam Levine calls this the new normal.
Unfortunately, what we're living in is a world now where cyber war has replaced the Cold War.
Hackers target Britain's parliament, trying to access members' emails. An investigation now underway to determine if any data was lost and what it was. The hack prompted parliamentary officials to disable remote access to emails. A spokesman for parliament blames weak passwords for that hack.
I'm telling you what, you all need to stop answering all those quizzes in Facebook. Look at those questions. Some of them are the very same security questions that you get asked when you set up your accounts, and a lot of that will also maybe give people an idea of what your passwords could be, like what's your middle name, what's your mother's middle name, where'd you get married? All these things sometimes people use to build their passwords. So just stop giving out that information.
That's a good point, yeah. Pro-life obstetrician Dr. Robert Lawler is fighting an Illinois law requiring all doctors to assist pregnant women in getting abortions, even those who are morally or religiously opposed. He says, "I cannot and will not comply with this law. That is a complete affront to my conscience beliefs, my firmly held religious beliefs, that life is sacred," adding, "I became a physician to help people, not harm them."
You know, when I hear about this, I keep thinking, boy, those poor kids in medical school don't even have a chance, because if they're making it a law for people who are already doctors to do this, then they're going to, you can imagine medical schools feel like, well, in order to make sure you can practice, we're going to make this a firm part of our curriculum. So I wonder how much students in medical school now are under even more pressure to perform abortions as a part of their training to become doctors.
You know, and that law actually applies to pharmacies as well as pregnancy centers.
Mm. Oh, no.
Didn't they actually reword the Hippocratic Oath?
I don't know.
Because it promises to protect life.
Yeah, and it's clearly not. But then I guess that's why they're so hot and heavy to say it's not a life.
Maine Senator Susan Collins is one of the Republican senators with concerns over the current Senate health care bill. She thinks bipartisanship would have strengthened the bill.
I would have liked to have seen the Democrats step up to the table and negotiate with us now, not wait till this bill is either passed or defeated.
Senator Rand Paul of Kentucky doesn't think the bill goes far enough to repeal Obamacare, saying there's still too many regulations in it.
If you get rid of the regulations, you may allow inexpensive insurance to be sold once again, and you may allow freedom of choice. Shouldn't the individual in a free country be able to decide what they want for insurance?
And President Trump responds to former President Obama's criticism of the Senate bill. Former President Obama warned that millions of Americans would lose health coverage and referred to what he called the meanness of the legislation. President Trump was asked for his response by Fox News Sunday.
What do you say to the former president?
Well, he actually used my term, mean. That was my term, because I want to see, and I speak from the heart. That's what I want to see. I want to see a bill with heart.
U.S. Catholic bishops releasing a statement noting positive parts of the bill, such as defunding Planned Parenthood, but they are opposed to deep cuts, especially to those in Medicare. And in sports, the Los Angeles Dodgers are in their 10th consecutive win, keeping their 2.5-game lead over Arizona in the National League West. Cody Bellinger homered twice, and the Dodgers scored 5 runs on 4 wild pitches in a 12-6 win against Colorado. The Diamondbacks kept pace by pulling out a 2-1 victory over the Phillies. Paul DeJong's 2 RBI single in the bottom of the 7th extends the Cardinals' lead to 8-4 over the Pittsburgh Pirates.
The pitch to DeJong, a swing and a ground ball under the glove of Jordy Mercer in the left center. One run scores. Here's the throw from Frazier to the plate, the slide. Alexis Diaz is safe. 2-run score as DeJong put the ball in play.
8-4, the final score there. We'll have American League action coming up, but first, let's take a look at a beautiful forecast for the Northeast today with Elisa Murphy.
Morning glory weather.
Mild temps along the East Coast for your Monday. A sunny day in Harrisburg with temps climbing into the low 80s. For those tuned to Holy Family Radio this morning, rain over San Antonio nearing 89. For our listeners on the Guadalupe Radio Network. And in Grafton, West Virginia, for those tuned to the Light of Life Radio Ministry, expect partly cloudy skies with a high of 74.
And leave it to Monsignor Charles Pope on this beautiful, calm summer morning to talk about the violence of creation.
Well, you know, as the 4th of July approaches, and I wrote a blog post on this You know, you think of a firework going off, and in a way, there's kind of a miniature replica of the cosmos there. We're kind of living in mid-explosion. Right? I'll put mid in a little question mark, maybe late to mid. I don't know. But anyway, we're think about that explosiveness of God's love. And I'm putting violence, of course, in quotes, you know, but, you know, there is a kind of a violence to creation that brings benefits. You know, we live over a thin crust over a fiery cauldron, but that cauldron, that volcanism underneath us, it produces most of the gases in our atmosphere we need to breathe. It produces the Van Allen belts to keep the harmful rays of the sun away. And the richest soil in the world is along the fire, you know, the ring of fire. We build our big cities all along the ring of fire. Mm-hmm. We think we're crazy, but there's a wisdom to it because so many resources are created by that. So I would only just say that when chaos or difficulties kind of come into our life and God shakes things up a little, maybe, you know, you got to break a few eggs to make a good omelet. Mm-hmm. So there's don't overlook that God might be up to something good.
And thanks for working breakfast into that.
Mm-hmm. I was just thinking, break a few eggs, make some I was thinking garlic, onions, all of that good omelet. Yeah. But in speaking about good and good news, do you remember the story of we heard a few weeks ago that the St. John Bosco relic was stolen from the basilica, you know, where he was born? Well, guess what? The police found it. And it is just almost an incredible story how they found it. It was found inside a copper teapot in a kitchen cupboard. And so I keep thinking about the power of prayer, how this was able to be found. But the interesting thing was the police said they were able to get some fingerprints off the glass case that surrounded the reliquary. And they tracked it to a 42-year-old Italian man just going by the initials of CG. They followed him for a few days. They got a warrant, and then they busted in his house and looked all over, found it in the cupboard. And he didn't take it for ransom, and he didn't take it as a collector. He apparently just thought erroneously that the gold-painted reliquary over the glass jar was worth a lot of money. So just greed. Just greed. But they found it.
I'm glad they found it.
Praise God they found it.
Forensics are amazing.
I know. And prayer. I really think prayer, because the fact that he did leave a fingerprint, or did he? He was found. He was found.
Well, St. Anthony, I'm sure, had something to do with that, because I know a lot of people were praying to the patron of lost items.
And they were like, homeboy, we got you. Don't worry. You'll be found. So I was happy about that. I don't know. Yes.
Also, you mentioned this GuideStar. I'm not familiar with it, but are very familiar with it.
So GuideStar, for those who deal with nonprofits or want to do research on a nonprofit, GuideStar is an organization that tracks various charities. And it calls itself a neutral aggregator of tax data on charities. So a lot of people look there before giving to a charity to make sure it's actually a charity. Well, guess what? They came up and started using a hate group designation for many Christian conservative organizations. And people are really appalled at that, because now they're saying places like the American Family Association, the Family Research Council, the American College of Pediatricians, they gave them a hate group designation in the GuideStar charity tracker. And that's very problematic for people who are unfamiliar with these organizations, will just automatically not give any money once they see that kind of designation. And so, of course, they're pushing back on GuideStar, like, why have you become so partisan and political, just saying these Christian conservative groups are, quote, hate groups.
Yeah. I wonder who funds them.
I don't know. That's a good question.
You know, regarding this idea of designating hate groups and you hate me and hate, you know, I think that we're living, this comes culturally from something in our culture where we've decided to equate love with kindness. Mm-hmm. So that if you say anything unkind, it's unloving and therefore hateful. But, you know, kindness is an aspect of love, but so is rebuke. Mm-hmm. So is a correction and so on. So I think that we somehow have to recover this idea that love is more than kindness, as I hope every parent, you know, knows.
Oh yeah, I know that, and Lourdes knows that, and I know that also from my mama and daddy and grandparents. I mean, if they just let me run wild, that's not love. I mean, love is actually, you know, getting involved in my life and putting me on the right path.
Caring about the future.
Yeah. Even if it elicited tears from me, it was love.
We're beginning a new week, and Gloria, we're in the middle of the Fortnight for Freedom.
I know it, and I'll be talking with Dr. Gracie Christie right next about the Fortnight for Freedom. So stay tuned.
Catholic from the start, because every new morning is a gift. This is Morning Glory.
Jimmy Akin.
One of the things that we often think about in our spiritual lives is how to do something big for God, how to do something grand and glorious for Him. But really, most of the time, we should focus on how we can do something small for God. It's these small things that help us consecrate our ordinary daily activities and help us do everything for Jesus Christ.
Catholic Answers, Sunday through Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
Once you lose faith, if somebody does something to you and hurts you one time, two time, three time, four time, St. Peter thought seven was a good number. How often should I forgive my brother, Lord? Seven times? My Lord said, no. 70 times, 7 times a day.
For more information on Mother Angelica, visit Religious Catalog at EWTNRC.com.
Podcasting is an easy way to automatically receive your favorite EWTN programs on your mobile device. And it's all at your fingertips. Visit EWTN.com/podcast and enjoy your favorite EWTN shows on your mobile phone right now.
This is Bishop William Medley of the Diocese of Owensboro.
This is Al Cresta, host of Cresta in the Afternoon.
Hi, I'm Archbishop William Laurie, the Archbishop of Baltimore, and you're listening to EWTN Radio.
At Morning Glory, we never sleep. Connect with us on Facebook.
Dr. Greg and Lisa Popchak talk about other people's opinions on mortal life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popchak starting at 10 Eastern here on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. As you start your day with Morning Glory on this 26th of June, Monday in the 12th week in Ordinary Time with our godly counsel, Monsignor Charles Pope, our DC producer, Elisa Murphy. I'm Brian Patrick with Gloria Purvis.
We have our regular friend, Dr. Gracie Christie. She's a senior policy advisor at the Catholic Association. Good morning.
Good morning, Gloria. Morning, everyone. Nice to be with you.
Nice to talk to you. I'm going to call you Dr. G because that sounds so gangster. I like that. So, Dr. G, I was reading your article, and you know what came to mind when you talked about the Fortnight for Freedom was launched in 2012? I said, oh, yeah, that's when the HHS mandate jumped off and they decided they were going to try to bankrupt the Catholic Church, you know, for being Catholic. And I was thinking, wow, 5 years later, we still are seeing attacks. And I know this year's theme is freedom for mission. For some of our listeners who are thinking, you know, well, we have a friend in the White House. How could this possibly still be necessary? Can you talk about how the theme freedom for mission ties up nicely with how our mission is still under attack?
Well, the problem is that a lot of the things that are happening to hamper our religious liberty are sort of built into the government regulations, which were installed in the last administration, but also in the way our society is becoming more secularized and losing its understanding of the enriching properties of faith in the public square. So it's not just a question of we're all free to go to whatever church we want on Sundays or to temple on Saturday, but are we really free to enrich the culture and help the vulnerable with, you know, using our faith as an impetus?
You know, Dr. Christie, I want to say that I think that what a lot of Catholics don't know, and they can go to the bishop's website, and your article also cites some of these things, and, you know, it's almost like death by a thousand cuts. Mm-hmm. We're constantly in court over all sorts of issues, ranging from medical things all the way through so-called gay marriage issues, all the way through. It's not just the attack, but it's the number and the volume and the different types of attack, isn't it?
Yes, and I'm glad you bring up the bishop's website. If your listeners go to the USCCB website and put in the Fortnight for Freedom, there's some really, it's really eye-opening. They have beautiful material there explaining how, as you say, death by a thousand cuts, how our ability to do good, basically to enrich society, is being hampered right and left and ahead and beyond in ways that we can't even begin to enumerate. There are too many.
Gracie, how effective has this Fortnight for Freedom been in terms of really involving not just the bishops themselves, but the parishes across the country? Because this, our church, you know, when you put everybody together, we are definitely a formidable force. Has it been an effective way of uniting Catholics?
I think the effectiveness depends a lot on the archdiocese and how well each, you know, parish pastor is communicating with the people in the pews, because it is very easy to get disconnected from what's going on and not sense and not understand the enormity of the threat that we are facing.
I will say this. I remember the very first Fortnight for Freedom right here at the Basilica of the National Shrine of the Immaculate Conception, and it was jam-packed, mm-hmm. just like it usually is for the vigil mass for life. And I'll tell you what I felt in terms of walking in there and seeing all these people with their little children. Lourdes was a little old thing at the time. And I have to tell you, I just felt like we're in this together. And I thought that was one thing that was done really well. It was like we were going to fight this, you know, behemoth federal government, but we were all in this together, not just as faithful patriots, Americans who love freedom, who want to, you know, appreciate the Constitution, but as Catholics who understand that we have a right to live our faith, not freedom to worship, as the government once said, but freedom of religion to live our faith. So it was that kind of community feeling. So I thought that was also very successful in that regard, that you didn't feel like you were alone, and it was very encouraging. So,
you know, as Catholics, we also have to remember that we are sort of the vanguard of the defense mm-hmm. for all the other people of faith in the country, because yeah. we have a very, the strongest denomination mm-hmm. of the most populous denomination is ours, and also we have a very strong, our hierarchy of faith is very well done, and so we're able to generate a lot of enthusiasm mm-hmm. for these things. But we're protecting people of other faith at the same time.
Dr. Christie's, the other thing that bridges to what I always emphasize with my congregation: please don't just see this in institutional terms. Oh, the church is under attack. The point is, you, as an individual, have a right to religious liberty. That's what the Constitution says. Mm-hmm. And the Church, the Catholic Church, to our credit, has often defended and taken sides with, you know, certain Native American mm-hmm. religious practices and things that are not ours. But, again, if this liberty is in our Constitution, right there in the First Amendment. And every individual needs to know that if they come after the institution, they're coming after you, too. And
yes,
would you want to just articulate a little more about that?
Well, yes, and even when we're speaking with our friends and neighbors who don't even have a religion, which is very common now to be an atheist or an unbeliever, we have to explain to them that we are also defending their conscience rights, mm-hmm. because we have this beautiful tradition in the United States where you can form civic associations and hold fast to what you believe in, even if that's not grounded in faith, it's still what you believe in, and go out and do good. Mm-hmm. And the government has always allowed, traditionally in the United States, people to do this. So we're defending people of no faith, too.
Well, Dr. Christie, let me just ask you this. Sometimes they say you got to get people to do the right thing for the wrong reasons. And I'm not trying to get all utilitarian, like, don't come after us because we do all this good stuff. But we do a lot of good stuff. So could you talk about the impact to the United States if Catholic charities, if our Catholic hospitals were just to, you know, disappear off the face of the earth?
Well, I think that's one of the brilliant, that's a brilliant way that the bishops have come up with this year, to focus on the great good that the church does, to put that front and center so that Catholics can hear this in the pews and then go out and defend the church and say, wait, listen, the United States wouldn't be the beautiful United States without the Catholic Church. Our humanitarian services are enormous. We're the fifth largest charity in the United States. One-sixth of all inpatients are in a bed in a Catholic hospital. We educate over 2 million children at an incredible efficiency per dollar. If you want to think about it that way, we have our universities, outreach to migrants and refugees. I mean, the list is endless.
And it seems like in your article, you mentioned a recent Marist poll shows that nearly two-thirds of Americans believe religion of freedom should not be restricted by the government. So that's pretty encouraging. And I'm going to tweet your article. So if you want to see your article, you can try to go to my Twitter account at Gloria_Purvis. And I'm going to tweet out embracing 2017's Fortnight for Freedom. Thank you so much, Dr. G, Dr. Gracie Christie, for calling into Morning Glory.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Glad
it's a
to
pleasure
have you.
Always. Mm-hmm.
Talk to you soon, Gracie. It's 25 after now, just ahead of Monsignor's spiritual direction on your Monday morning. We turn to Elisa Murphy for some Catholic chatter.
You can find us on Twitter at EWTN. You can also email directly morningglory@EWTN.com. We heard from Connie regarding a conversation we had with Daniel Madsen recently on his new book, Why I Don't Call Myself Gay, A Look at Same-Sex Attraction. You can find that podcast and all of our podcasts at EWTNMorningGlory.com. We also did hear from Ellen, who very much loved having Sister Claire Hunter in last week, and the interview Friday with her Mother General, Mother Sean Vergowan. You can find out more about the Franciscan Sisters of the Eucharist by going to fsecommunity.org.
We appreciate Sister Claire Hunter and Catherine Zeltner and Jason Calvi and Mark Irons. I appreciate the little time off last week, Monsignor. We hear a lot about who am I to judge, but you're going to turn that around.
Yeah, who am I not to judge? you know, the we're constantly told in Scripture that we have an obligation to correct the sinner and to correct each other and to be open to being corrected. You know, all of these are things that the church, we have got to have this role of, you know, both individually and collectively correcting. And this is said over and over again in Scripture. The text today in the Gospel is so often misunderstood. Do not judge and you will not be judged. But the Lord is not speaking there of making any judgment about good or evil. He's talking about the judgment of condemnation and of being unnecessarily harsh and because he goes on to say, the measure that you measure will be measured back to you. So it's not throw the book at them, but to correct a sinner is we're taught this over and over again. Just very quickly, you know, our Lord says this, you know, if your brother sins against you, tell him about it. Mm-hmm. And if he won't listen, bring some witnesses. And if he still won't listen, tell it to the church. And if he really won't listen, if it's a serious matter, then he may need to be excommunicated, treated like a tax collector or a Gentile. Paul says the same thing in 1 Corinthians 5. I can't believe you Corinthians are tolerating an open sinner in your midst who's living in an incestuous relationship. This just has to end. Go correct him. Hand him over.
But isn't love is love is love?
Oh, that's right. But then there's also this this remarkable you know, passage, a beautiful passage that I'll just give you from Galatians 6. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any sin, you who are spiritual should recall him in a spirit of gentleness. Look to yourself, lest you too be tempted. But bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. You know, it is a burden to correct a sinner, and you take a risk because you're not perfect and they might come back at you. Mm. But, you know, it's a loving thing to gently recall the sinner. It's one of the spiritual works of mercy to correct the sinner. So let's not understand this text, judge not lest ye be judged, as an elimination of hundreds of texts of Scripture that tell us to gently correct the sinner.
Mm. Admonish the sinner is one of the spiritual works of mercy. Mm-hmm. We're coming up on 28 after the hour. We have your news next. Also, Morning Glory and Musings. We ask you to stay with us for more Morning Glory on your Monday.
Catholic from the start, because every new morning is a gift. Morning Glory.
Morning Glory.
Carry EWTN with you everywhere when you download the EWTN app. You can enjoy EWTN TV and radio live streams, shows on demands, prayers and devotionals, and the latest Catholic news. Visit EWTNapps.com today.
Celebrating 100 years of Fatima with Monsignor Charles Pope.
On May 13, 1917, in her first apparition to the three children, Our Lady of Fatima said, "Are you willing to offer yourselves to God and bear all the sufferings He wills to send you as an act of reparation for the conversion of sinners?" It's a powerful question. It's a question that's also being asked of us. Are we willing? Do we pray for the conversion of sinners? Are we willing to fast? Are we willing to accept sufferings that the Lord might send us so that sinners can be converted? Are we even willing to suffer ourselves for our own conversion? So often we simply want things to be well, but we don't want to be part of the solution. We ask God to fix things. But God asks us, will you join me in this great work of the conversion of sinners?
Join EWTN as we celebrate the 100th anniversary of Fatima. Visit EWTN.com/Fatima.
Peggy Normandin.
I was really pretty vain in my mid-20s. I was consumed with all those, you know, superficial trappings in life. Well, during this time, I had a dream where my grandmother appeared to me. She was a very loving, plain, modest woman of great faith. Well, in the dream, she was absolutely radiant. And she said, "This is what I look like now. Everything is perfect in heaven, Peggy. This is all that matters." What a powerful spiritual wake-up call that was.
Call Me Catholic with Peggy Normandin, Saturdays at 1 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
This is Janet Benkovic, host of Women of Grace.
Hello, this is Cardinal Donald Wuerl of the Archdiocese of Washington.
This is Gloria Purvis, host of Morning Glory. Thanks for listening to the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
On the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network, live from Capitol Hill, this is Morning Glory.
We come to you from Guadalupe Studios. We thank the Guadalupe Radio Network and WMET, the D.C. affiliate of GRN, for hosting Morning Glory here on EWTN Radio. It's half past the hour. Good morning. I'm Brian Patrick with my friend Gloria Purvis.
Good morning.
Our producer is Elisa Murphy. And we turn to our godly council, the pastor of Holy Comforter, St. Cyprian Parish in the Archdiocese of Washington, Monsignor Charles Pope. Would you pray for us?
Lord, we're talking a lot today about living in communion with one another in our nation, and we'll be talking later about our families. But please help us, Lord, to know that it is a very, very precious thing that you seek to accomplish through Holy Communion, that we live in communion with you and with one another. Keep us, Lord, faithful to you and to each other through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
And Gloria now discerning her topic for Morning Glory. Music?
I know the Lord is putting this on my heart. I really wasn't thinking of talking about this, but Mother's Word today just speaks so clearly to an experience I had many years ago. So I'm going to talk about that.
All right. We'll look forward to Morning Glory and musings coming up right after the news. Pope Francis urges Christians to not be afraid to proclaim the gospel message. At his Sunday Angelus address, the Holy Father says we should expect failure, even persecution, but we live in the knowledge that the Lord is on our side. Acknowledging those who are persecuted for their faith today, the Holy Father said, let us pray for our brothers and sisters who are persecuted and praise the Lord, because in spite of this, they continue to witness their faith with courage and fidelity. Pope Francis also expressing grief for the victims of a landslide engulfing a village in southwestern China. He said, I pray for the dead and for the injured and for those who have lost their homes. May God comfort affected families and sustain rescuers. About 100 people remain missing and hopes of finding them are fading. The bodies of 15 people have been recovered, but many more are feared trapped beneath the rubble of that landslide. President Trump scheduled to meet with Indian Prime Minister Narendra Modi today in Washington. Modi held a meeting with members of the Indian American community Sunday. Groups supporting and opposing him rallied in D.C. For a dozen years, the U.S. government didn't even allow Modi to visit the United States because of alleged human rights violations. Pro-life obstetrician Dr. Robert Lawler fights an Illinois law requiring all doctors to assist pregnant women in getting abortions, even those who are morally or religiously opposed. He says, I cannot and will not comply with this law that is a complete affront to my conscience beliefs, my firmly held religious beliefs, that life is sacred. He said, I became a physician to help people, not to harm them. A district court judge halts the immediate deportation of more than 100 Iraqis, including many Chaldean Christians. Earlier this month, U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, or ICE, officers picked up Iraqi nationals with previous criminal records in and around Detroit. 114 Iraqis were detained and informed of their imminent deportation. They had entered the U.S. legally, but because of previous criminal records, ICE says they are not eligible for full U.S. citizenship. Before the long summer break, Supreme Court justices are poised today to act on the Trump administration's travel ban and a case involving separation of church and state involving a playground at a church in Missouri. Court watchers wonder if Justice Anthony Kennedy could actually announce his retirement today. His departure would allow conservatives to take firm control of the high court. Police near Allentown, Pennsylvania, sound the all clear Saturday after an armed couple fired shots at police. An hours-long standoff kept residents locked in their homes into the afternoon. One says the suspects tried to steal his car and he would have no problem defending himself and his property.
I have no qualms. No qualms whatsoever. You're in my house, don't belong here. If you got a gun, I'm going to shoot you first. No question about it.
Those suspects stole another car and led police on a high-speed chase before hiding out in a home where they were found dead hours later. Fire forcing more than 1,500 people to evacuate their homes in Garfield County, Utah. Extremely hot weather and strong winds intensifying the fire. Nearly 1,000 firefighters are on the fire lines. Garfield County Sheriff James Perkins thanks them for working to protect people in their homes.
They literally put their lives on the line to protect people's property.
These guys are. They're heroes.
About 63 square miles have burned. That's the largest fire in the country so far. With dry weather and record heat, wildfires are burning across seven western states. In Santa Clarita, California, a truck accident sparked a fast-moving fire. Michael Gibson and his sons and neighbors took it upon themselves to protect their homes from the flames.
The only reason our house is still standing here is because both me and my sons stayed and fight the fire. So it worked out pretty well for us.
About 200 firefighters were able to bring that fire to 50% containment. Nearly 100 people voluntarily evacuated the area. A family in Corrales, New Mexico, comes under attack from a protective mother hawk. Homeowner Andrew Reeves says a Cooper hawk is protecting her nest in a tree behind their house.
As soon as the babies hatched, she started just attacking anything and anybody that moved underneath the tree, including me and my kids.
And Gloria, those hawks are federally protected and cannot be removed, but they are expected to fly away on their own pretty soon.
Well, let me tell you something. We have a saying in Charleston called the hawk is out or the hawk is biting, and it means it's really, really cold. But I looked, I'm like, that's New Mexico. I doubt that applies here. But it really goes to show how nature, you know, is natural for moms to protect their babies. I mean, even a little mockingbirds here can be pretty a lot to deal with if you come near their nest. I remember seeing lots of news stories of people getting pecked by these mockingbirds, but I can't imagine a hawk. I think I might be in the house for a bit.
That might leave a mark.
I was visiting with my brother in Nederland, Colorado, just last week when I was off, and we were walking around in an area where there are moose. And he told me, he said, you know, moose can't see very well, but they hear really well. So we're walking along, and we can see where the moose have been rubbing their horns against the trees, and we're just walking along talking, and all of a sudden, like literally a few feet from us, this bull moose stands up. It was lying down, it stands up, and he just said, hold it, and we just backed off very gently, and then there was a mom and the young one there, and they were protecting their young, but all's well that ends well.
But you are very blessed, because I have a friend that's a big game hunter, Frank Vella, if you're listening, he's in Canada. He was the one who was telling us about moose, how they are very vicious creatures.
To protect their young.
Well, and they, you just don't mess with them, and they're super powerful, I think.
So the fact
that you encountered one, and you're here today, you are a blessed soul, let me just tell you.
They are a giant animal and really very glorious to observe, but yes, they could be potentially dangerous. Mm-hmm. But thank God for wildlife. They were there before most of us were, at least in the wild.
And they still, as I understand it, obey God's commands to them.
That's right. Right. Increase and multiply.
Yeah, there you go. Mm-hmm.
In sports, the Yankees and Red Sox continue to share their first place in the American League East after both teams lost Sunday. The Yankees lost for the 10th time in 12 games to the Rangers. 7-6, the Los Angeles Angels topped the Red Sox 4-2. The Minnesota Twins have shot ahead of the Indians for the AL Central lead, moving a half game in front with a 4-0 shutout of Cleveland. It's 22 till now, just ahead of Morning Glory and Musings. Here's Elisa with your Monday forecast.
Morning Glory weather.
A warm Monday in Lebanon, Tennessee, with temps nearing 81 with perfect sun for those tuned to Risen Radio this morning. A sunny day with temps in the mid-70s for those joining us on Real Presence Radio in Bismarck, North Dakota. And temps in the high 60s with sun for Oil City in the Keystone State, Pennsylvania, for our listeners on the Station of the Cross.
Father Wade Menezes is your celebrant for Holy Mass from Our Lady of the Angels Chapel in 21 minutes at the top of the hour, right after Morning Glory on most of these EWTN affiliates. It's 21 till now, Gloria.
So let me just preface this by saying I am not in any way special. I'm a very broken person, and I think God is just exceedingly merciful and loving when I share what I'm about to share. So, what struck me in Mother's word today is when she says, look at his pain throughout the centuries. And it just took me back to this moment when my mother was in a coma and in the ICU. And I had gone down there, and she'd been in one for a while. And it was an extremely trying, exhausting, painful time that really tested my faith and exhausted me. Because I just wanted her to come out of that coma. And we were praying fervently in a novenas and just the going to perpetual adoration and just begging the Lord for healing. And I mean, it's just, you just don't know, right? But you have to trust. And I remember one morning before I went down to see her in the ICU, I just sort of broke right there in my parents' house in South Carolina. I was like, I can't do this. I cannot do this. I cannot go down there one more moment and see her basically dead to me. And I heard like a voice say, it was just behind me, said, that's what love is. And so it made me say, huh. And it spurred me on to go on down there. And I remember when I walked into the ICU, they had a curtain around her bed. And as I turned the curtain around to see her, there was a chair right next to the top of her bed. And just for like a millionth of a second, I saw Christ sitting in the chair with the crown of thorns, and our eyes met. And it was just gone, just like in a breath. But in that millisecond, what was coming to me was scripture. His love endures forever. And what I thought about, well, what came to me at that time is that pain that I felt at seeing my mom pretty much dead to me is the pain that Christ has felt across the ocean of time for every soul that has been dead to him because of sin. Mm-hmm. And that he does not take his eyes off of us because he loves us. And so when she says, look at his pain throughout the centuries, it reminds me of how Christ looks at us because he is waiting for us just to turn to him so he can bring us out of that death and into new life, and that his love endures forever. It's something about God's love that we just cannot comprehend. But scripture tells us his love endures forever. And so I'm thankful to you, Lord, that your love endures forever, that you never take your eyes off us, even when we hurt you, even when we are dead to you through sin, that you still keep your eye on us because you love us no matter how much it grieves you that your beloved children have just turned away from you and end up in such a terrible situation. So, Lord Jesus, thank you for loving us. Thank you for your love being able to endure us throughout the ocean of time, and it will endure even beyond that. And so I hope someone out there is encouraged that if you feel like you are lost and trapped in darkness and sin, don't believe that lie. Get yourself to the sacrament of reconciliation. The Lord is waiting there to embrace you in his loving arms. And remember, his love endures forever.
Amen. I say, you make it plain, preacher. Make it plain. Go on now. I mean, you're having some church up in here. I had my hand up in the air for a minute there. All right. Yeah. But listen, you know, such a profound reflection. And a lot of times people say, oh, this is no big sin. Nobody, just so long as nobody gets hurt. Well, Jesus endured the pain of all of our sin.
Yes.
You know, we're about to interview Layla Miller, and, you know, she makes a marital image. You were using a kind of a father to his children image, but there's also this marital image. Think about it. Talk about a stormy marriage that the Lord has with his people. And it's us, not him. But Jesus' bride crucified him, and he didn't give up, and he kept loving. His bride crucified him. So, as I say, if this helps people in stormy and difficult marriages to endure just a little longer. Again, if there's physical abuse, you know, get out. But the point, you know, get separated and get the help that hopefully you can restore your marriage. But the point is, we have love brings a lot of suffering because we really care about each other, and there's going to be storminess and there's going to be difficulty. And in the Lord's marriage with us, of course, we're the sinful ones. He's sinless. But in most other, you know, human marriages, there's a lot of, well, a one-sided pancake is pretty thin. We always think it's one or the other, but yeah.
And we need to encourage those that we know who are going through those tough times to work through it and stick together versus encouraging them, you know, just get out of there, quit, run. Mm-hmm. We need to encourage them to keep up the fight.
Yeah, our Lord endured so much, as you were saying, Gloria, for us. And we're weak and we're sinful, but the Lord can give us the grace. There's that beautiful story of Hosea's marriage in the Old Testament, where he's told to marry a prostitute.
Yeah, I remember that.
As an image of how God feels, you know, feels in quotes there, but feels about the infidelity of Israel toward him. And yet God's, when the marriage all falls apart, God says, go bring her back. Mm-hmm. And it's going to cost him dearly to bring her back. But God says, look, my bride has forsaken me, but I will never forsake Israel. Mm-hmm. And so, again, there's these beautiful images in both the Old and the New Testament about God's fidelity to us, and the pain that Jesus shows that caused to the Lord, and how God experiences pain is mysterious
right,
to us, but
right.
he does speak that way, at least phenomenologically.
Mm-hmm.
And after a rampant generation of divorce, there are now many adult children of divorce, and your next guest, Monsignor, will address that.
Yeah, Layla Miller there's a wonderful new book that she's put out, Primal Loss, The Now Adult Children of Divorce Speak. And she joins us next.
More.
Yeah.
Every new morning is a gift. This is Morning Glory.
Catherine Zeltner.
There are so many misconceptions when it comes to abortion and assisted suicide. It's really confusing, and I think for a lot of people, they don't know how to talk about these things. EWTN Pro-Life Weekly, we help to change that. We help to really untangle these web of lies. Listeners can expect to become informed and then grow more confident so that they can then discuss and dialogue these issues, and together we can really impact culture in that way.
EWTN Pro-Life Weekly, Sunday morning at 10 a.m. on EWTN Radio.
If you're currently an EWTN media missionary or just interested in becoming one, we've got some great news. EWTN Media Missionaries has a new and improved website, EWTNmissionaries.com, designed with you in mind. Our new site is loaded with great features and it's easy to navigate. There are so many different ways that you can help EWTN. Join us in sharing the eternal word with the world. Visit EWTNmissionaries.com today.
Have you heard about Church Pop? It's the newest member of the EWTN family with new online Christian content that's fun and inspiring every day. Find it on Snapchat, Instagram, and on the web at churchpop.com.
This is Bishop John Brungardt of the Diocese of Dodge City.
This is Colin Donovan, Vice President for Theology.
This is Father Larry Richards, host of Open Line Thursday. Thanks for listening to EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Value your opinion. Email morningglory@ewtn.com.
Those of you listening to Morning Glory who are on vacation with your family, we pray for a safe travels and a wonderful time during this summer months. It's the 26th of June in the 12th week in Ordinary Time, and this is Morning Glory on EWTN Radio. I'm Brian Patrick with Gloria Purvis.
Good morning.
And Elisa Murphy, our producer in our DC studios, Guadalupe studios. Our godly counsel today, Monsignor Charles Pope.
And we are now joined by Layla Miller, who's written a wonderful new book called Primal Loss, The Now Adult Children of Divorce Speak. And you interviewed some 70 people and collected their reflections, and you've beautifully woven them together. I wonder if I could just begin by reading a quote from your book. And certainly we want to make sure that not everybody's divorced in the same way. Some tried to save their marriage, but their spouse wasn't willing. So we want to be clear. This is not, in talking about this pain, this is not a blanket condemnation of any sort. And I know you'd agree, but let me read this quote from your book and then ask you to begin to comment. My grandparents' generation had to deal with a lot, war, undiagnosed PTSD, and alcoholism. But they had a noble idea that you sacrificed your own happiness for your children's well-being. You took on all the heartache so they did not have to. My parents' generation inverted that, and they decided it was better that a child should have their world torn apart than that an adult should bear any suffering. Mm. We're kind of living with that, aren't we, Layla?
Oh, yes, we definitely are, and it's exactly right. We've inverted the idea that the parents are the ones who are to sacrifice and show that nobility and that honor to the children, that life isn't easy, and that sometimes we have to persevere through things, even through the really, really difficult times, in order to give our children what is rightfully theirs, you know, from birth. I mean, there's a primal justice in having a mother and a father and an intact family. So, you know, we've gone from doing our duty to following our heart, you know, as someone has said. And unfortunately, it tends to be mostly surrounding the issues of an adult's romantic or, romantic feelings or personal happiness, that the whole culture encourages adults, you know, really follow your heart, you know, do what your heart says. And we just assume And everyone has assumed for all these decades of, you know, no-fault divorce, especially, that the children will just kind of approve that and they'll be just really happy that their parents are happy and they're so resilient. And that's kind of the story we've been told. And unfortunately, it hasn't really worked out that way. And I really had no idea about that myself because, again, I'm not touched by divorce myself. So,
Layla, you know, I've heard actually someone give a very beautiful explanation around the effects of divorce on children. That person is Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers, who has several series for EWTN. So our EWTN listeners might be familiar with his name. I heard him preach once at a mission, and he said, when adults put down the cross of marriage, their children pick it up. And I just thought, what a wonderful, beautiful visual way to help us understand the impact of divorce on children. And I think, you know, it's not to make anybody that's had a divorce feel bad. Okay, this isn't the point of this discussion. The point is to help us realize that it does affect kids, and we're having people who are now grown being able to talk about that. And so I'm wondering, what is the message that you're hoping that the book gives to people who are currently in marriages or to people who are adult children of divorce?
Well, for the adult children of divorce, it's been very comforting. Many of them feel that they are alone in this. They don't generally talk about it because that's not what is acceptable. Children from a young age, and even some of these people whose parents got divorced a little bit when they were a little bit older, they have to go with the narrative. Generally speaking, a child is going to go with what the narrative is presented to them. The idea that, okay, this is going to be best for everyone, and it's going to be fine, and then the child kind of picks up this managing of his or her parents' feelings and then goes forth saying the same narrative that the parents say. And so these kids who are now adults, and again, some of these, the oldest participant I have is in her 60s, they have gone through their lives unable to really articulate or speak publicly ever, most of them, about their pain because they're just not supposed to, first of all. Secondly, they think they're the only ones that are feeling this way. So this book, I have found, has really opened up a dialogue, not only between, believe it or not, the participants of the book who did not generally know each other before this book, but other people who have said, wait, I thought I was the only one. I really thought, here I am, you know, 35, I'm happily married, I have, you know, six kids or whatever. I never knew that other people felt this way, and I feel like I'm reading my own words here, but I had no idea. So they're very isolated. Some of them have never in their lives been asked how they felt about their parents' divorce. A lot of people are asked, what happened? You know, how are your parents doing? When did they get divorced? But they're never asked specifically, how did you feel about your parents' divorce? So this is the first time for many of them. And they, go ahead.
Layla, my children, I have three grown daughters, are children of divorce. Okay, I was 18 years old. We were expecting our first child. And we talk openly about that, about how they felt. And they're all still married, by the way, to their first husbands. And I highly encourage that. And I pray for their marriages every day. I just wonder, there's so many of us in my situation. How might we support, especially our children and others we know who are married, who are going through difficult times?
Right. And first of all, thank you for talking to your children. I think that's hugely important. It's the one thing that I have said, whether or not the parent reading is the initiator of the divorce or someone who was a victim of an unwanted divorce, the best thing you can do is just listen to your even adult children and even just say, you know, I'm sorry. And don't put any caveats or excuses. Just say, I'm so sorry that you went through that. But, yeah, accompanying the people today who are going through difficult divorces, I think, unfortunately, what I see, and I'm a Catholic woman of, you know, 50 years, I see a lot of Catholic, really well-meaning Catholic moms and wives and adults who are otherwise just really solid. They tend to, you know, we all tend to kind of get sucked up into the sad story, and we don't want our friends to hurt, and we don't want people to be you know, in pain over really a miserable situation. So we tend to always do the sympathizing. You know, women do this a lot. And so we do tend to almost encourage, you know what, you need to be happy. You know what, if you have to do this, go ahead. You know, you can probably get an annulment. And we kind of forget the children and that, wait a second, you know, you are going to be possibly carrying a big cross here. And, yeah. And obviously with abuse, you know, canon law, you know, you're more than should be able to separate. You need to physically separate if you're in danger. But if it's just what we see 80% of the time or more, which is just a difficult marriage, we need to be encouraging to those marriages and say, you know what, this is a season, and more likely than not, yeah. You're going to be okay.
Exactly.
But more encouragement to stay.
Yeah, I've talked to so many older couples who say that. Man, we had some stormy years, but thank God we saw them through. And
Amen.
Listen, I want to thank you for this book. I want to tell you, it's very moving to read, and it's a little bit like going to a 12-step meeting. You know, there's somebody else who understands, you know,
yes,
and it helps you to get in touch with your own feelings. And the number of children who've been affected by divorce, well, it's legion. So we want to just encourage everybody to read your book who's been affected by divorce, or even if not, to be aware. Yes. This is very primal, and primal. Well, we have to wrap it up, but I want to just say thank you again for the book. And it's, again, Primal Loss, The Now Adult Children of Divorce Speak by Layla Miller. And God bless you for bringing this to us. Thank you.
Thank you so very much. Thank you.
And we're hearing from our listeners, Elisa.
Yes, we are. We've actually heard from April and Francis this morning. Happy to have Monsignor Charles Pope here along for the ride. And we've heard from Carolyn, who very much enjoyed our interview just right now with Layla Miller on divorce. And she uses Alexa every morning to find us. She just says, Alexa, play EWTN Radio. And it starts.
All right. We appreciate all of you joining us for Morning Glory and encourage you to be back with us tomorrow. We did speak about today's gospel with Monsignor a little bit earlier. Monsignor Charles Pope, we always enjoy having you with us and look forward to next Monday when you'll be back.
Good. Thank you.
Appreciate you very much. Gloria, I know that you are preparing for a big convocation.
Yeah, that's coming up this weekend, the USCCB convocation, talking about the joy of the gospel.
And we look forward to hearing from you live from Florida, and we'll be back in the morning. Who's on, Elisa?
Father Thomas Petrie, live from Rome tomorrow.
Great. Join us then. In the meantime, join us now to pray. Glory be to the Father.
And to the Son.
And to the Holy Spirit,
as it was in the beginning,
is now, and ever shall be,
world without end. Amen.
Have a blessed
day. Catholic from the start, because every new morning is a gift.